sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 95. No need to act ill. As in, to the average MC, I'm known as the Terminator. Funky beat maker, New Jack Exterminator. Destroying a ploy when your rhymes are now void. Never sweating your girl. Why, P? Because she's a schizoid. What's wrong with a schizoid? Sorry, focus. When I'm on the scene, I always rock the spot. I grab the steel with the crown on top. In the beginning, I like to let the rhymes flow. And at 12, I press cruise control. Sit back and relax. Let the rhyme tax. Maintain MCs while the double E max. Always calm under pressure. No need to act ill.
Message.
Listen when I tell you, boy. You got to chill.
Message.
Listen when I tell you, boy. You got to chill.
Message.
You got to chill.
Message.
I said, you got to chill.
Message.
Okay, that's it. Sorry. All right, okay. All right, welcome, bienvenue, a another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston B. Lebanon. Yeah, that name keeps changing. Deal with it. Before I start the show, I need to put out a disclaimer that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green. With the red, black, and the red, blue. Who's your friend up in this bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, August 11th, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too.
He speaks so well.
Hope that was understood. And then let's move on. Let's continue. Okay. All right. Welcome back, folks. Before I continue, for you, special welcome to you new listeners. And just to help you get familiar with how I do things on this podcast, I gotta let you know. So I break down my episodes into three parts, and because I like to be fancy, I call them acts, okay? All right, so in the first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And final act is final thought. Excuse me. Now in the first act, the intro, what you've heard so far is the theme, the title of today's episode, followed by some poetry, which both the theme and the poetry will connect to the final thought. And everything after that was a disclaimer, you know, just because, you know, I gotta like, you know, especially for white folks. And okay. Oh, and the last thing I like to do in the act before I finish up the act is I like to share some quotes. And I don't usually do this. No, actually, no, it's been a pattern now. But usually the quote that I share will also connect to the final thought. Right? And the first one, actually, I got three of them. First one goes, have patience with all things, but first of all, with yourself. Francis DeSales. DeSales, that's his name? DeSales? Sounds better in French. Francis DeSales. All right. Okay. Second one. Patience is when you're supposed to get mad, but you choose to understand. Anonymous. And last one, have patience. All things are difficult before they become easy. Saadi. Yeah. Saadi or Saadi? Anyways. Yeah. Again. Yeah. All for final thoughts. But before we get the final thought, we're going to jump into news and random thoughts. All right. Okay. Let's do this. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, you know, I was just thinking about how. first, okay, let me just play this quote by Martin Luther King. And it's funny. It's the one quote you rarely, and I mean rarely, hear white folks today share with you when they're talking about what would Martin Luther King think? What would MLK think these days? All right, here we go.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
Shout out to Patrick, not Pat, President Pat on Twitter. He goes, I've been waiting to share this quote, and it was in response to Donald Trump trying to play big dick with MLK, with the members of MLK. And he goes, Trump says he had a bigger crowd than on January 6th. Than Dr. Martin Luther King did in his famous I Have a Dream speech. Okay, the first thought that came to mind, the first thought that came to mind was the nerds. Yeah, the nerds. Trump here, the fucking nerds, but that's Trump. I guess, and again, I gotta remind myself that his target audience don't fact check. At least they don't fact check him. The supreme leader. It also has me thinking about, I'm reading this book by, what's the title again? I'm reading this book by, it's about Jim Jones. Why the fuck am I reading a story about Jim Jones? That's a longer story. But I'm reading about how Jim Jones started being became a cult leader. And there's a lot of what he did that, you can see Donald Trump. But the connection I'm making to it is because I didn't know this, but Jim Jones, I just knew him as the Kool-Aid guy. The Kool-Aid cult leader. But I didn't know that he was on that, hey, defender of black people. Like, he sided with the movement as a way to get, basically he had one image of being like, hey, I'm all about unity, black liberation, but I'm also all about, like, hey, I'm a cult leader. It's just interesting how the connection, the triangle between Trump, Jim Jones, and Martin Luther King, the connection between the three. And also how white people like to use the memories of Martin Luther King to further their agenda. That's where I'm going with this. Yes. And the last point that I'm going to make about this quote, and I chose to make this a more permanent quote, not just because it's laughing, but it made me think about how on my podcast, I could understand. So I had this. When I first started out this podcast, I had this big fear about having it heard by people who are just going to misunderstanding it, who are just going to misunderstand my podcast, my intention. And then now I'm slowly accepting it. Just deal with it. Fuck it. It's going to happen, man. You're trying to reach a crowd. We're playing numbers. In order for me to find my target audience, I'm going to have to walk through, deal through, go through a whole bunch of people who weren't the intended target audience, who will purposely misunderstand or mock what I'm talking about. Fuck it. It's the ticket to play. Excuse me. It's the price to play. And but I was thinking about the idea of how you could, because again, I start out with, you know, fuck Whitey, which is, I mean, intention is for it's comedy, and also the idea that a white person might hear this and just dismiss this podcast, or what I do on the podcast, as, oh, he's just hating white people. And so all this to say that I think I'm just going to make this a clip. I think I'm going to play this more often, like this one here.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
Eloquently. That and...
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
You know what I mean? I just... Yeah, you know, I could make a whole podcast and whole episode about my obsession with white people or why I'm giving them so much attention, but that's, B, don't you think it's a distraction? Nah, it's part of the humor. All right, you know what I mean? It's part of the humor, but whatever. All this to say is, I love that quote. All this is a long journey, a long setup, just to say that I really love that quote. One more time, MLK.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
You know, you must have pissed off MLK for him to, like, raise his voice like that. Eloquently. Motherfucker, they stupid. All right, okay. All right, okay. Let's move on. What else we got? Okay. The game of politics in Ottawa. Now, this is one of those I should have prepared in advance, but, you know, okay, look. First, I'm going to say shout out to my homegirl, Erica Eiffel, on Twitter for sharing this. I mean, it's, and it was her idea to, like, check the comment. Okay, in Ottawa, city of Ottawa, where I reside in, that used to be, you know, Ottawa, usually that used to be part of, which is part of the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. And before the white man showed up and called it Ottawa, sorry, right. Our mayor is Mark Sutcliffe. Yeah, that's his name. No bizarre. Anyways, and you know what? I can't really speak intelligently about this, but homeboy, it's funny how it's reminding me of Carcetti. No, worse than Carcetti. So homeboy is, I guess, threatening to raise taxes, and I'm labeling this, what I'm about to say, as the game of politics. And I see the strategy, and I'm fascinated by it. And so he just tweeted, I'll just read the tweet for you. It goes, it's time for the federal and provincial governments. Okay, for you Americans listening, we don't have states. We call them provinces here. We have whatever. Okay, sorry. No, that's not funny. I'm sorry. Generalize Americans like that. All right, okay. It's time for the federal and provincial government to recognize the scope of the crisis in our city and to recognize that we didn't create this mess. Shit. It's time for Ottawa to get our fair share. Please sign our petition and add your voice to the fight for fairness. Okay, so I guess he's making a big claim that, hey, man, the federal government's got offices here and ain't paying their fair share of, I like the usage of the word fair share. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, the government ain't paying its fair share of property tax. But whatever. Long story short, he's fucking up and he's blaming his fuck up on the fact that the federal government chose to not force their employees to come back to work. See, his excuse for the reason why the economy downtown sucks, the reason why business downtowns are dying is because it all happened since COVID. After COVID, the government allowed their employees to stay home during COVID, they haven't forced them to come back to work. Like it's a thing in Ottawa where downtown is suffering because we don't have people going to these businesses. So it's weird. Yeah. So I guess I should establish that Ottawa is a government town, capital of Canada, NCR, National Capital Region, and a lot of the business downtown did come from the public servants who work downtown. Now, after all of us, oh, just revealed that on public service. All of us got a taste of working from home, and not just working from home, saving fucking money, not having to take this bullshit public transportation and come downtown for some mediocre restaurant who expect to be, whatever. Sure, don't get me wrong. There's some good restaurants downtown. But if you happen to work in a location where the good restaurants are kind of a far walk, I'm just saying. There's a lot of downtown who relied on the business for public servants. And because they don't have that business, they've been bitching to the, instead of adapting like all business are supposed to do, they went crying to this motherfucker for help. And he's playing the reason why the economy's bad is because of the federal government. Look, I got to be careful. I don't know all the details. I'm going to admit that I am not really speaking intelligently. I'm not speaking, what's that word? I was going to say literally. No, like illiterate. Like illiterate. I might sound like an illiterate because I don't know all the details. In fact, so I can't the argument. But what I can say as a citizen of the city is downtown sucks. Holy fuck. The only reason, okay, there was a time when I was a teenager where I loved going downtown. Now, less. Like the only reason I have to like go downtown is if you force me to, which is because of work obligation. Luckily, I don't work downtown. But that should tell you something, that your business only survives because people are forced to. Pull yourself by your goddamn bootstraps. What the fuck? That's kind of some welfare shit that you rely on us, on people who actually have to go to your business. Look, all I'm saying is, first I'm going to say is, that's what you get, Ottawa. Y'all voted for this guy. But the strategic in there, the genius is what he's doing is, he's riding that fuck Trudeau wave. There's a lot of, okay, I don't know, like we should do some stats on it, right? I don't know if how many people actually, how unpopular Trudeau is, especially in Ottawa. Like I remember, if you go on the internet, you would have convinced that everyone in Canada hates Trudeau, which is a lie. I voted for the guy. Fuck it, man. I'm standing on my ground. No, he's not perfect, but but when I go to vote, I don't vote for perfection. I'm a grown-up about elections, you know? There is no such thing as the perfect person. It's a bunch of people. But my point is, he's riding. I can see how his advisor talked him into the term pay their fair share. Because Obama used to say that shit a lot. And blaming and say, hey, look, man. I feel like he's got these guys by the balls by saying, look, I'm going to have to raise some taxes. Oh, and the worst part, yo, our public transportation suck. I mean, I still remember, I have memories of winters of going to work. Cause there's a time I used to work downtown and especially during winter, and I had to go to one station. Okay. So I'm about to say some, first world problem shit, but you know, you take the bus, take it to one station, and then you get to that station only to wait and fucking freeze because your train's late. And then you get on the train, and then the train was always full. Like, these assholes did not fucking anticipate a crowd, whatever. But my point is, I don't like taking public transportation. In Ottawa. Montreal, they got their shit figured out. New York figured out how to, like, get people to take public. I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing. But all I can say is, I hate this, the way this guy is like, people want to come downtown, bullshit. People want to take public transit, bullshit. If businesses suffer, it's because business suck. It's because they're not respecting the rules of supply and demand. Okay, I said too much about it, right? It's amazing. Initially I was going to read the comment section because the reason why I shouted out, this is the part I should prepare for. But I guess what I like about the comment section is how everyone is like, yeah, fuck you. You're full of shit. But hold on. This one here has got my attention. Sam Hershey goes up. This is an outright lie, Mark, about the fact that under your leadership, in just 2 years, you've cut. Okay, first let me hit like. Okay, in under two, in just 2 years, you've cut transit in both your budget. You are part of this mess. That's what I'm saying, man. Homie fucks up, but he found the scapegoat. And that's the fascination, this political strategy, that this game that he's played. That's what fascinates me about it. This, I didn't realize how much I was into this kind of stuff. Well, until it hurts me up the bum. We've done our part. Okay, he said, this is a quote from Mark Clay. He goes, we've done our part finding tens of millions of dollars in savings and efficiency without cutting programs and services. So he made some cuts. So essentially, is we made some cuts, but we need the government to help out. You know, yeah. And this is the part about politics, about municipal. Stop blaming other levels of government. You gave $460 million to subsidize rich OSEG billionaires. Spent $50 million for, of course, yeah, they spent a shit in this city. They spent a shitload for ineffective cops. $50 million for a cop shop on Rito. Oh, really? To boot out unhoused people. Yeah, that's another thing that's scary. And worked with the province to get a new helicopter. What? Nobody asked, instead of community resources. Shame. But here's the thing. You know why he's doing it? Because he can. Because he fucking can. And yeah, that's it. But that's what it's again, the game of politics in real life. Maybe there's another way. Vote, kids. That's why you should vote. All right, okay. What else? Okay, let's move on. What else do I got in here? Yes. Okay, this one is under Reddit pet peeves. And the title goes, When people get offended when you don't drink. Content, the person, I wonder if they mind. Bit annoyed. But okay, I'm just going to play it. But the person's name is, I mean, the username is Bored Royalty 90. Okay, here we go.
I'm not a drinker. I hate alcohol. I don't like the feeling of being tipsy / drunk. I never understood why people get so offended, and sometimes even defensive, when I say that I don't drink. I don't see the point in blowing money on alcohol, just to hate the taste and hate the feeling. Nothing about it is pleasurable or even remotely appealing to me. I don't think I'm missing out on anything by not drinking. But a lot of people think otherwise. Oh, so you're boring neutral face to you maybe, if you don't know how to have fun, just say that if you need to drink every time in order to have fun, then you're not having fun, you have a problem. In addition, I can't stand when people try to shove one down my throat.
Amen.
Oh, come on, just have one. If I wanted one, I'd get one. Me not drinking isn't a character flaw, and I hate when people try to make it seem like it is.
Right on. I'm just agreeing with this one. I think in a previous episode, I talked that there was, I shared a clip from TikTok of this dude who says, what's wrong with normalizing being sober? Yeah, something like that. But here, all I'm going to say is, and I've said this before, but to your new listeners, this is the first time you're hearing this, is I used to be those people who allowed themselves to be forced into drinking, even if it meant having, like, I mean, sometimes I've had good time, but sometimes a bad time. But lately, alcohol hasn't been, because I'm getting older, and alcohol doesn't hit me as well. Like, it does more damage than it does provide pleasure. I'm not saying I stopped drinking, but what I will say to this person's point, I've learned there was a time where I realized that the key to enjoying drinking is being surrounded, is being with people who will accept that you don't want to drink when you don't want to drink, who let it go. Like, that's the key. To have a good time drinking, you need to be with people who will accept the fact that you don't want to drink. They won't force you. They won't ask questions. It's just a simple, hey, I'm getting something at the bar. Oh, you want to get a Pepsi? Cool. End of fucking story. It's usually, again, it's always been the motherfuckers like, get a drink. And, okay, not all of them. Most of them. But I just realized, yeah, no, the motherfuckers who I think what happened is the people pleaser in me would kick in and be like, okay, I can sense that you need to, for you to feel comfortable, I need to have a drink with you. And then and time would go by and I'm like, fuck, I'm having the worst time of my life. Yeah, but anyways, I stick to my point. The key, boys and girls, to the young men and women, young men and women listening to me, the key to having a good time drinking is being with people who can accept, who will accept you when you, if you don't want to drink. If they're not those kind of people, you're not going to, yeah, they're not the red flag. Just consider it a red flag. All right, okay. What else do I got? All right, again, another one. This is a rant from Reddit. Username is appearance number 8551. That's an interesting username. All right, okay. And it goes, okay, this one I will read because it's short. It goes, I'm quitting watching porn. After learning how much people get used in the industry, I just physically cannot be attracted by that. And also, I've heard women go into the industry underage sometimes, and that is gross as shit. Even though I'm male 50, you're 15. Wait, what? That can't be right. So yeah, I'm done with this. There's no way you're 15, you're quitting porn. Sorry, okay, that came out wrong. I'm sorry, my apologies. Okay, the real reason why I shared this article, what impressed me by this story, and the reason why I'm reacting to the person being 15, because I thought they were way older than this. They were way older. And it was more the fact that I was surprised to hear a male give a fuck. Usually, if you, according to the rules of the cult of masculinity, women's problems are their problems. Right? Just keep beating your meat. Whatever, man. For some women, even doesn't matter if some, the performer in this porn flick is going through the worst day of their lives. Fuck that. Out of sight, out of mind. Doesn't matter. Like, I grew up with males who did not empathize with other women. Like, it was normalized. I thought that was, and if you did do shit like, hey, guys, that's wrong. Oh, hey, guys, that's unfair to her. What do you mean you're cheating on her? Wait a minute. You know, what do you mean what do you mean you're telling her you're a good guy when you're not? Shit like that. It's part of the rules that you don't do. It was called the quote-unquote bro code. The bro code is if you see another, it's like, you know what bro code, it's exactly like, I forget the term, but what cops do. It's like you got to support each other. It's like we're soldiers in a battlefield, and the enemy are in women. It's us versus them. The bottom line, these guys. Anyways, the part that impressed me, repeating myself, is this dude giving a fuck. And I was going through the comment section. You know, a few jokes were in there and whatnot. But there was this one asshole. I guess he deleted his tweet, and he was like, oh, you're just virtual signaling. Wait, what did I do? Give us an update next week. I didn't mean to downvote your tweet. Okay, yeah, I think he deleted his post. But, yeah, this one guy, I think he deleted it. Okay, he is 15. And, yeah, man, and the guy was offended. There was a person in the comment, it got deleted, and he was offended, and he accused the original poster, OP, of virtual signaling. So you don't give a fuck. And, you know, it was another version of fuck them hoes. You're not supposed to love them hoes. Anyways, I'm glad he deleted his comment. I'm glad he got downvoted, and whatnot. But again, whether he quit or not, I'm not thinking about that. It's more that he's like, yo, I can't support this shit. It's terrible to the performers, especially the female performers. So respect, salute, homeboy, salute. All right. Okay, I clicked on this twice. Okay. All right. Hey, more news from Ottawa. This is, I'm going to play this article. It goes, hold on a second. Am I playing the article? It's kind of long. Let's see how long this is. Okay, I'll summarize it. Now, you know what? Now, okay, hold on a second. Alfonso. Okay, you know what? Okay, let me play it. Here we go. And the title, before I play it, it goes, Ottawa Capital Pride draws backlash following pledge to stand in solidarity with Palestinians. First of all, shout out to Ottawa Capital Pride for doing respect to Ottawa Capital Pride. Now, here we go. Here's the story. Here's the details. Here are the details.
Well, with Capital Pride set to kick off in 10 days, organizers have released a statement on the Israel-Hamas conflict, declaring it solidarity with Palestinians. Organizers say they will recognize the, quote, ongoing genocide at the start of all signature events this month and push for a permanent ceasefire deal. CTV's Sean Varden has the details.
With Capital Pride just days away, organizers issued a statement on Tuesday declaring its solidarity with Palestinians, taking this stand over the Israeli-Hamas conflict.
I'm glad they're doing something. I've never been to Palestine before, but I feel them all the time. There's always troubles over there.
Organizers say they condemn in the strongest possible terms the acts of terrorism committed on October 7th. But they, quote, cannot stay silent in the face of Israel's endless and brutal campaign in Gaza and mounting violence in the West Bank. The festival plans to recognize what organizers call the ongoing genocide at the start of all signature events and push for a permanent ceasefire.
It'll start something anyway. I like that.
Reaction has been swift. Nepean MPP Lisa McLeod taking to social media, saying in part, this decision is anti-Semitic and it will prevent Ottawa Jews who are LGBTQ++ from feeling safe at Pride. I truly hope they reconsider this ill-considered proposal.
I mean, our community is incredibly disappointed and harmed to see this come out and make a statement, against our community, just as we're gearing up to participate in events is certainly something that was a surprise and something that, you know, felt harmful to us.
The Jewish Federation of Ottawa also responding, saying in part, Capital Pride statement does nothing to achieve the peace everyone wants to see overseas. Instead, it creates conditions for more hateful anti-Semitic rhetoric targeting Ottawa's Jewish community here at home.
I would say that Jews and folks in the queer community are the most targeted for hate crimes. And so we should be working together locally to address that hate and to stand strong and in solidarity together.
Okay, I'm going to pause just because, yo, this dude is so Ottawa. So when I talk shit about Ottawa, I'm thinking of people like him.
Not to sow seeds of hate and discrimination against already marginalized communities.
CTV News reached out to Capital Pride for an interview today, but that interview request was declined. Mm. Capital Pride runs August 17th to 25th with a Pride parade on the final Sunday. Sean Varden, CTV News.
Yeah, CTV News. All right. Pause. Make sure it's not playing again. All right, okay. You know what bothers me about this story? Well, first, it's so Ottawa. Like, it's so typical from someone from Ottawa to say shit like that. Again, shout out to that sentiment by Ottawa Capital Pride. Salute to them and to the people objecting to it and calling it, that's anti-Semitic. Come on, bro. Really? You're going to say genocide? Being against genocide is being anti-Semitic? Of course, you don't see it that way because you don't consider Palestinian people. Okay, here's what bothers me about this story is I wish it would have been more, they would have talked to Jewish people who were pro-Palestinian. Why didn't they have that opposition? Instead of having these business folks with money, because I guess that's all that matters, say, being the spokesperson of Judaism. You know what? It's not just, it's his business, folks. They're exposing a problem that's been going on with Pride parades. And I say the way it's been like corporatized, the way it's an opportunity for corporations to be like, okay, we're going to fund you some money, but we need you to stand within this legality here. You know what I mean? Like these businesses are throwing money. It's where business and good cause come together. And sometimes it's like, Like, it bothers me that Capital Pride might suffer financially because of this. Because of this stance. And the thing is, when you think about, and you know, when you think about the concept of pride, especially the word love, how the fuck can you expect them to be like, to not be like, hey, that genocide kind of bothers us. How do you not see that? Oh, man. Okay, how do you not? Calm down, B. Again, people are people. This is where I think about the story of Jesus growing up. Growing up, I used to be fascinated by the story of Jesus. And the image that I was brainwashed. But I mean, no, not liking it wasn't. What I liked about the story of Jesus is how he would see through this bullshit. It'd be like he without sin for the first stone. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Again, I'm just going to end this with shout out to Ottawa Capital Pride. And be strong. Be strong. No, okay. All right. Okay. All right, we're getting ready to wrap this up quick. I'm looking at the time. Okay. I laugh because first I want to start by saying, and we don't do this on Shut Up Podcast, I don't like making fun of people. Okay, except racist folks, you know, I mean, yeah, sure. First, okay, let me start positive. You guys gotta understand. First, I want to send a shout out to Phil Kim, aka the Wizard from Vancouver, for winning gold. Kim's wins Canada's knife. Okay, winning gold in the Olympic for the breakdance competition. First, I want to say, yeah, you heard me right. I remember when they first announced that learning that breakdance was going to be a competition in the Olympics. Burst out laughing. Come on. I mean, again, I'm old. The younger folks can handle it. I'm sure they're like, to them, it's going to be normalized. I'm sure there's a lot of competition in the Olympics that's been like, that's some bullshit. Like, golf, is golfing still in there? Doesn't matter. And so it's only natural for me to laugh at the idea of breakdancing being in there. And the one from the Bronx participating. Okay, stop. Okay. But what made me laugh, again, when it was first announced, is like, does Canada competing? Ha, 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 ha. I laughed at the idea of Canada actually participating. And remember, I'm old school, and I can understand if you send me hate mail for this, right? Because I'm also the guy who's like, wait, we got a soccer team? What the fuck? I thought we were just good at hockey. Okay, my apologies. Wake up. Snap out of it. Only for this to find out, and Phil Kim wins it. Like, congratulations to him. You know, hold on. Congratulations to homeboy. Here we go. All right. You made me a believer. But what really made me a believer, as soon as I found that homie was from Vancouver, I'm like, oh, of course. Of course. Because the thing is, every time I think of Canada, I think of stuck-up Ottawa. I diss Ottawa a lot. I mean that in love. I realize I'm giving a bad impression. No, I'm sticking to my words. Whatever, I'm sticking to it. All right, yeah. So I think of stuck-up Ottawa. I guess I had an image of some bureaucrat, someone who works for, I don't know, what's that department? What's that department that, the cultural one there? This is a bad setup for a joke. Hold on a second. The Canadian government, the cultural one there, culture department. I used to want to work for them. Canadian government. Oh my God, Canadian Heritage. Yes. Canadian Heritage. You must have lost a lot of money. So I had an image of some white girl from Canadian Heritage. So don't see Manon, something like that there, or I don't know, what's a common, Sarah, I'm trying to think of Canadian names. But so when I first heard of breakdancing being a competition and the idea of Canada being in there, I had an image of someone from Canadian Heritage showing up and dun, 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 Rocket by Herbie Hancock. All right, okay. This is where shit gets funny. Okay. But anyway, Phil, the homie proved me wrong. Man, I got to stop screaming in this microphone. Okay, Phil the Wizard proved me wrong.
Wait. Remember, the most common.
Sorry. Okay, I'm mixing my, okay, this is why it's making me laugh. Phil Kim, that's his name, Phil Kim. Why I'm laughing is because I forget her name, and this is where I started with, we don't make fun of people, but yo, Australia took an L, man. Australia. The person from the whole internet is talking about, and the poor woman has gone viral over this shit. I forget her name, something, Roof Guns, Roof something, but she's from Australia, breakdancers from Australia, and she was whack, man. I'm laughing because when I thought of Canadian participating in breakdancing, despite forgetting about cities like Vancouver, Montreal are big cities, because there's a lot of breakdancers. You know, no, there's some Canadians who respect the cultures. If they said DJ competition, I'd be like, oh, whoa, yes, okay. But I forgot that. No, excuse me. It's not. Canada has some breakdancers, but I don't think they were the type to, like, find the money to get to the Olympics. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was, like, it's going to be, they were going to take it seriously. Anyways, this Australian chick who apparently has a PhD in culture and shit like that, and she breakdanced. You know what? Links are in the show notes. And she sounded exactly like this.
Hip-hop is this. 1, 2, 3, 4, hit. Ah, and ah. The more relaxed you are, that's what makes a hip-hop. Boom, bam, every time. Start out just hitting it.
Okay, I need to give credit to the person who, Doc Kelly on TikTok, they made that joke. If you're familiar, there's a video of this white lady teaching hip-hop, and what I'm saying is the Australian chick who competed in the Olympics sounds like that video, and it was bad. I think the lesson learned from all this, the takeaway for me is, as I make fun of the poor woman who went in there convinced that I'm gonna show them somebody's gonna get served, someone's gonna get this shit, Julia Stiles shit, whatever, right? It there's a lesson about taking in constructive criticism. I want to make a final. I used to have this fear. I still have this fear about when I was doing comedy. I gotta get back into it, and I was good at it, but there was a part in me that was had this. Someone asked the question, "What's your biggest fear in comedy?" And I said, "My biggest fear is finding out that I'm like this woman, this Australian chick. I'm not really that funny. I'm just surrounded by people who are like too nice to say, nah, shit, dude, you ain't funny. Your shit's whack." And they let me go on stage in front of people and I'll be like, goony goo goo. You know what I mean? And it's like finding out that I'm not really that fun. And I think that fear comes from the fact that I grew up with people. I was just familiar with the idea of criticizing people behind their back, not being straightforward with people. And I think this, what's her name? Australian breakdancer. Okay, I'm going to get her name. This is the part that I stopped making fun of her because the whole internet is Australian breakdancer. Her name is Raygun. Oh, shit. She claps back. Good for her. Okay, Raygun. Yeah, it's, where was I going with this? I forgot. Oh yeah, the Reagans of the world. Like I have this fear of being like that. You suck, and then and it's funny how, because I say this shit while I do this podcast, while having this fear of it's wild, right? The contradiction. On one end, I have this fear of what's that word? Not deserving the props. Getting props that I don't deserve. But on the other end, I have this fear of being criticized for it. Doesn't make sense. Those fears are counterintuitive. Like they're not helping. I guess that's the bottom line. You know what? I just realized that they're not helpful. But now I got to read this. I'm dying. It goes, she clashed back. How the hell are you going to defend? You need to take that L. What does she say? Australian breakdancer Ray Gunn has heard the criticism. Excuse me. Has heard the criticism of her performance at the 2024 Paris Olympic, and she's not feeding the trolls. Good for you. The Olympian and university lecturer, wow, real name Raquel Gunn, responded to critics of her decision to wear Australia's green and yellow tracksuit while performing at the Olympics inaugural breakdancing competition. Looking forward to the same level of scrutiny on what the B-boys wear tomorrow. Oh, they were dissing her. Gunn shared on an Instagram. Okay. Gunn was level-headed about her drubbing across the rounds of breaking. She lost the... I guess she just clapped back because what she was wearing. But, whatever, man. My cousin Boo would be like, oh, she participated. Man, leave her the poor girl alone. She's 36, told Yahoo. Oh, her style is not suited for this event. You know what? Keep your head up, sister. I guess that's what I'm saying. Keep your head up, sister. You know what you're doing. The part that fascinates me let me put it this way. If I was in her shoe, I'd be like, yeah, you're never going to hear from me again. Fuck that. When I die, fuck it, I want to go to hell because I'm a piece of shit and it ain't hard to fucking tell. Boom! All right, yeah. I am not walking. I'm crawling under a rock. But she's like taking it. Was that the expression? Taking it in the chin? Taking it on the chest? Whatever. Keep your head high and handle it. And she's handling it. Good for you. Okay. All right. So I started making fun of her only to leave with, okay, you got the juice now. I mean, not for breakdancing, but for handling it. Okay, good for you, sister. Okay. Yeah, Phil, what else do I got? Okay, last article. What time is it? Last article before I get to the last article. And this one I'm going to read. I should change the voice of my AI thing because it sounds a little creepy. But, can I play this article? Okay, so essentially... Remember I talked about, in the previous episode, I talked about Iman Khalif. And apparently she's filing a complaint due to the abuse over gender at Paris Olympics. And here we go. Yeah, and yo, go for get him. Get him, girl. Here we go. Okay. I am so organized. Okay, now I mean it. Here we go.
Paris Olympic gold medal winning boxer Iman Khalif, who endured intense scrutiny about her gender throughout the Paris Games, has filed a formal legal complaint in which she says she was the victim of online abuse. In a statement posted Sunday to Instagram, Khalif's attorney, Nabil Bhutti, said Khalif, who won the Olympic women's 66-kilogram boxing title on Friday, asked his legal firm to file a complaint with the Paris prosecutor's office on her behalf. Having just won a gold medal at the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, boxer Iman Khalif has decided to lead a new fight, that of justice, dignity, and honor, Bhutti said. Ms. Khalif contacted the firm, which filed a complaint yesterday for acts of aggravated cyber harassment with the Anti-Online Hatred Center of the Paris Public Prosecutor's Office. The Paris Prosecutor's Office told ESPN it had not yet received the complaint, although it could come as early as Monday. Bhutti added he asked for the criminal investigation to determine who initiated the misogynistic, racist and sexist campaign against Khalif. The unfair harassment suffered by the boxing champion will remain the biggest stain of these Olympic Games, Bhutti added. Fans have embraced Khalif in Paris even as she faced an extraordinary amount of scrutiny from world leaders, major celebrities, and others who have questioned her eligibility or falsely claimed she was a man. It has thrust her into a larger divide over changing attitudes toward gender identity and regulations in sports. It stems from the Russian-dominated International Boxing Association's decision to disqualify Khalif and fellow two-time Olympian Li Yuting of Taiwan from last year's World Championships, claiming both failed an eligibility test for women's competition that IBA officials have declined to answer basic questions about. Elif and Lynn are allowed to fight under the International Olympic Committee's guidelines on gender eligibility, with both fighters eventually winning gold in Paris in their respective weight classes. For 8 years, this has been my dream, and I'm now the Olympic champion and gold medalist, Kelif said through an interpreter after her gold medal bout Friday against Yang Lu of China.
Oh, good for you.
Kelif has faced scrutiny from a range of public figures and a significant number of social media users. Mm-hmm. Former U.S. President Donald Trump and Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling both weighed in with criticism and false speculation about men competing with women in sports. That also gives my success a special taste because of those attacks. We are in the Olympics to perform as athletes, and I hope that we will not see any similar attacks in future Olympics, Kelif said. Paris was the second Olympic appearance for both Kelif and Lin after both fought at Tokyo 2020 without medaling. Kelif's victory marked Algeria's second boxing gold medal, while Lin's was Taiwan's first gold in the event.
Oh, wow.
The IOC has repeatedly reaffirmed the two boxers' right to compete in Paris, with President Thomas Bach personally calling the criticism hate speech.
Two things. First one is the IBA, the first people who were like, who started this this idea of Kelif not being a woman. And apparently the IBA, what does IBA stand for? The IBA is like a discredited boxing, group. IBA Canada. Oh, shit. Anyway, whatever. International. Bar Association. International Boxing Association. Okay. Yeah. It's a discredited organization. They're the ones who were like, when she was about to fight some Russian woman, some Russian athlete, some, oh my God. When she was about to fight a Russian woman, after she lost, that's when they stepped in with the, oh, she doesn't qualify as a woman. And two, the second point I was going to make is Kelly's only crime is to be good at a sport. She's is to be great at her sport and not considered attractive. Again, the people going after Kelly are people who believe that the role of women is to only be pretty and be quiet. If you look at it in that context, shit will make sense. It will, yeah. Again, her only crime is to be great at her sport and having people who look at her and don't consider her attractive. Or people who don't think that's how a woman should look like. Anyways, go for it. I hope she sues the fuck out of these people. I hope she gets the justice that she deserves. All right, this concludes news and the random thought. And let's jump to the final thought, and then get the fuck out of here. All right? Okay, let's do this. Okay, let me clear things up. Okay, step one. What's up with today's title? You know what? Today's theme, today's final thought, the theme for today's final thought is based on the concept of being patient with yourself. Okay, let me back up. Because I promised myself not to preach. Do I have it? I don't have it. Oh, man. Okay. I don't have it. Okay, sorry. I was going to play don't have a sound clip for it. Okay. Didn't come here to preach today. I'm about to talk about something that I am not qualified to preach about because I'm struggling with it. And it's the concept. It's being patient with yourself. Or being patient with myself. Let me personalize this. It's easy to say yourself because it's easy for me to tell you, yeah, you need to be patient with yourself. But it's a concept that I've been struggling with. And before I continue and elaborate on that, let me tell you that today's title is the second verse of EPMD's You Gots to Chill. Second verse by Parrish Smith, yes. Initially, I was thinking of going relax your mind and your conscience free. What's the line I was going to say? Oh, yeah. And then go take a nap. Okay. All right. So second verse, got to elaborate. Kate, that's out the window. All right. That's explained. Okay. And the reason this came to mind is I had a moment this week that kind of surprised me where I found myself. Okay. What happened is I was beating myself up. It's my favorite passport. Beating myself up for whatever mistake. For doing something the way I shouldn't have done it, or just because it was Tuesday. And for the first time, this voice came out of my head, and I was shocked to hear it, and it goes, go easy on yourself. The person you are out there is simply trying to keep you alive. So I have this thing that part of the reason why I enjoy solitude is because I don't like who I am when I'm around people. The people pleaser kicks in me. It's like I'm in a sunken place. It's like I lose contact. In the last episode, I talked about authenticity versus attachment. And the person out there is more focused on attachment, has associated self-preservation with attachment. And complete disconnect from the self. It's like deny yourself. You're just gonna get yourself in trouble. So what happens is when I get home, I replay the events of the day and I think about how I was like, look at you, man, sucking people's dick. And completely forgetting that I'm on a journey into self-healing. I'm on a journey to being more authentic. It's a journey. And because of that thought, I realized that before I get there, it's gonna require a whole lot of patience before I get there. Now again, I am not qualified to preach to you about this shit. I'm still working on it. Like I'm learning how sometimes you gotta celebrate the small victories. And this is what this final thought is all about, is that voice in me that recognized that, hey, take it easy on yourself. You're trying. And I was amazed. I was like, who the fuck is that voice? Yeah, I was amazed. I'm just going to leave it at that. I was amazed. This morning, I was supposed to go swimming. And I didn't, and I was getting ready to, again, get angry at myself, but I'm realizing that, like, sometimes you need to fail. I was just talking about that. Sometimes you need to fail. Sometimes you need to fail in order to fail to get better. What's that first quote that I said? It said, patience is when you're supposed to get mad, but you choose to understand. I had a second thought is along the line of patience with myself. Now I'm telling, I guess this is like some kind of affirmation. I was thinking about how I forgot during my comedy days and I was always scared of a bad set. Like I feared, like it freaked me out, like a heart attack. Like it just triggered anxiety. Well, I mean, now I know better, I was scared of a bad set while completely being oblivious of the fact that sometimes it takes a bad set to improve who you are. Before you can be Mr. Def Comedy Jam, you may need to go for a few bad set. You may need to deal with, I have a natural talent of making strangers laugh, but I keep forgetting about that. What humbled me, though, or what I learned from, I appreciate my humbleness, is I enjoy going to open mic shows and look at people who don't have that same natural ability that I have. And when they get laughs, they earn, like, I mean, it's, they fight for that laugh. What I'm trying to say is there were people who weren't as funny but handle bombing way better than I did. And that's what I was looking at them for. I was like, yeah, no, sure, people aren't laughing, but I'm looking at how the way you act. You can't, when you go on stage, you can't be like, people are bombing. Like, fuck you, I'm going home. Now you got to tough it out, man. Sometimes you joke about the joke. Okay, that didn't go well. And the thing is, I've always admired those people because usually those people is, you see them a few months later and they're like killing it because they've learned from those experiences. So I'd go to every show expecting to bat 100, right? Bat 100. If I don't bat 100, then my show sucked. And that's not the way to think about it. I wasn't thinking of growth. You know, no, I was thinking of growth. I was thinking of, hey, I'm getting all the validation I need. This show's over. But getting back to what I was saying is, is learning to be patient with myself. That's my journey. All right, I'm going to play this last clip because this is another reason why I went from that thought. And this clip probably I'm going to play this TikTok clip and homeboy drops a gem that, and it reinforced the idea of being more patient with myself.
Remember, the most common trauma pattern that's repeating itself in your life is the way you're treating yourself.
All right, we didn't need that much fucking truth.
One more time.
Remember, the most common trauma pattern that's repeating itself in your life is the way you're treating yourself.
One more time.
Remember, the most common trauma pattern that's repeating itself in your life is the way you're treating yourself.
All right. Everything after that, you can watch it yourself, and it just talks about how, damn, that's some real truth. Like, but that's a harsh truth. The reason why this thing got my attention is because it had me thinking about the fact that when I'm beating myself up, sometimes I wonder, is that what abusers go through? Is that what abusers are thinking? Because when I'm beating myself up, I have no regards for my own humanity. It's like it's as normal to me as breathing. And it never occurred to me that as I'm beating myself up, the me on the receiving end of that beat myself up is actually saying, ouch. Hey, it's fucking with me. Like, it's always been normal. I've never, I'm not going to say her name. I'm thinking of this one, a friend of mine who overheard me. You've probably heard me on the show. Sometimes I'll diss my own self. I mean, it's not about self-deprecation. I'll just say, oh, I'm so stupid, whatever. And she caught me being mean to myself. She said, hey, why are you being like that? I'm like, and I remember a part of it was like, mind your own business. Like, I felt like the abuser saying, hey, mind your own business. This is for her. This is for their own good. And she was right. She was right to interrupt me. And having homeboy, this dude talk about, so his name is Chronic Kitchen. Yeah, having him say that, it just made me see the other side so I'm doing the abusing and forgetting, in order to be an abuser, there's got to be an abused, and not the abused is a human being. You it reminded me of a thought that, yes, it reminded me of growing up, and this is not an excuse, you know, it's going to sound like an excuse, but growing up, I used to be, every once in a while, because I thought I was the older brother. Okay, I'm getting ready to justify it, but I'm going to say, growing up, I used to be shitty to my younger brother. Didn't know any better. He didn't realize, this is the excuse, is he didn't, like, he took it personal. Of course, I mean, okay, high receiver doesn't matter. What I was trying to say is, me being shitty wasn't because it wasn't intentional. It was, I feel shitty inside. And to make myself feel better, I have to lash out at the closest one to me. It was an attempt to make myself feel better. That's what I'm trying to say. And so when I'm self-abusing, self-harming and all that, in my mind, there's a part of my brain is it's an attempt to make ourselves feel better. And yeah, I know. Again, I'm not going to stop before I get into preaching mode and forget that I'm about to talk about something that I am not an expert in. I'm about to preach something that I don't practice. But yes, I think the final thought is just, it's a message about learning to be patient with myself. It's a journey. And the only thing I got going for me is I need to hold on to the faith, to the belief that one day I'm going to get it right. This is not over for me. Like, I'm not going to, one day I'm going to get it right. I got to focus that one day I'm going to look back and be like, holy shit, damn, you were awful to yourself. Yeah, you know, one day I'm going to get better. I'll be better. I'll be an expert. An expert at showing patience to my own self. All right. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Like always, if you want to send me a note, holler at me, talk to me on these internet streets. You can find me at shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time, because there's people on the left whose earnades were turned off when you said that. Shutuppodcast.com. The power of the three, kids. If you want to email me, you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. As always, go to the website. You can find the RSS feed, the show notes, and the links to all the articles that I covered. They're all in the show notes. You can find them there. Again, holler at me, shutuppodcast.com. With all that said, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.